Welcome to the special edition of the Trade Show Show, coming to you live from the 2016 Red Diamond Congress and proudly partnering with Engagement World at the Renaissance Orlando in Orlando, Florida. Engagement World is the conference and expo dedicated to exploring the world of enterprise engagement as it relates to building corporate revenue and profits by utilizing the number one strategy for improving customer engagement, exhibit and event marketing. And now, here's your host, Todd Youngblood.
This is the Trade Show Show, a special edition coming to you live from the 2016 Red Diamond Congress in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Todd Youngblood. Welcome back. I am sitting with one of the most well-known faces in the trade show business. That's right. Isn't that what you paid me to say, Chris?
Oh, that's a fantastic introduction. Thank you very much.
Seriously, somebody that truly is well-known, has a well-deserved reputation for knowing his way around this whole industry. So I am delighted to have Chris Griffin, President and CEO of Trade Show Supply and TS Crew. Chris, finally lassoed you down after 3 days.
Oh, listen, it's good to be with you, Todd. Thank you for the sit-down.
Just in case there are two or three people in our audience that don't know who you are, give us a quick sketch of your background.
Perish the thought. They don't know who I am.
Well, you've hit the big time now, so this will take care of the rest of it.
I've been in the trade show and event industry for, I think this is 27th year. I started off and cut my teeth on the portable and modular side of the business and worked my way up. Through management, I'd worked for a large exhibit manufacturer for about 10 or 12 years. Got married late in life, decided to settle down in Orlando, Florida, and ended up doing some consulting work for both that former employer and some other larger exhibit houses. Spent a couple of years traveling all over the world, believe it or not, doing trade show marketing seminars, and ultimately moved into webinars later for a lot of companies. But once started a family, my wife reminded me that 200 nights a year on the road was not really conducive to raising productive little people. So Trade Show Supply, which I was an original investor in, I ended up, long story short, buying back into that company, and we were on our way from there.
So. Well, tell us a little bit more about Trade Show Supply and TS Crew.
Sure. Trade Show Supply started as a mail order catalog company about 20 plus years ago, moved to the internet around the year 2000. We targeted or served entry-level exhibitors. Back then, it was table covers with logos. It was pop-up displays were the rage. But, you know, we sort of moved upstream when the internet came out. And really around 9/11, and the economy was in a recession, we threw ourselves into the service side of the business. So labor and exhibit rental is really what we do now. Yep. We have major build and service centers in Orlando, Florida, and Las Vegas, Nevada. And we provide labor in about 12 other U.S. cities. So most people know us as installation to dismantle support, or last minute or emergency rental. Exhibit rental.
Did you just describe both companies in what you said, or is that more trade show support?
It's funny. TS Crew is our brand identity for the industry in terms of serving modular exhibit dealers and exhibit houses. Trade Show Supply, we still have, there's hundreds of thousands of exhibitors out there that don't have anybody they work with. So if they're coming to a show in Orlando and Las Vegas, they typically find us, and we have different staff and different support needs of each audience. So for example, exhibit houses, they have artwork they create for their customers. They do the strategy and planning and arrange a lot of the logistics. They need the hustle and muscle team of us in those cities, whereas trade show exhibitors, for example, coming from overseas, they need a resource in the local city, like a Las Vegas, where they're going. They may need us to do some of those basic art and design and coordination details. So we support them that way as well.
Gotcha. Chris, talk a little bit about the top two or three issues that you solve for your clients. Why do they love you?
You know, I think...
you say that, oh, they love me? They
well,
do?
No, listen, it's... the business is, it's a fun, exciting, deadline-driven, warp speed, take no prisoners type of a business. Lead times are getting shorter. Budgets are being asked to be stretched further. So what we're seeing on the show floor when we're assigned a project, if you will, is it really has become full-on project management on the show floor, whereas customers used to plan 2, 3, even 4 months in advance.
Right.
It might be 2, 3 weeks in advance. The output of that is we've got a lot of things directly shipping to show, 12, 13, even 15 variables that have to come together and meet there for the first time. As the installation dismantle crew, very often we're the guys that have to make stuff work, you know, right there on the show floor without having the opportunity to have it, preview it beforehand. So,
how do you price that?
I mean, you know, what you just said makes it very clear that you're coming up with a package of services that you're going to provide, and you know it's going to hit the fan at some point in time, or maybe it won't, you get lucky. It strikes me that that's a challenge.
It is. That's a great question. You know, in the labor business, it's a time and materials world.
Right.
So we'll typically give a customer or an exhibit house an estimate of this is going to take 3 men, 6 hours to install, and maybe 3 men, 4 hours to dismantle and repack based on the scope of the project. What changes that is when the scope of the project changes. So if we're having to drill 15 wire management holes, or something's damaged and we need to relaminate something on the show floor, or carpet doesn't show up on time and the crew is waiting, you've insisted we start at 8 a.m. and there's a crew there, and you know there's things that can eat away at the clock. We always try and you know get guys off a client's clock if that's possible, but sometimes that's not. So one of the things we do, and I always appreciate this, is I don't like to ever pay an invoice I don't know about in advance. So if we find out that delays are happening or things are damaged, we're communicating with the customer real time, even if they're not even in the city yet. So, hey, listen, this just happened. Here's what we can do, but there's going to be some cost consequences. We want to make sure you understand that. So at least they have a heads up about that. So.
Yeah, no surprises, good or bad.
Nobody likes surprises. Yeah, and we've learned the most expensive place to finish an exhibit is on the trade show floor. You don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, or you just certainly don't want to be doing the design work while you're,
while
you're at that point. Yeah. Chris, talk about some mistakes that you've seen your clients make. I mean, you maybe can't tell them face-to-face bluntly, but now we're a little bit anonymous. What are the most common things that your customers screw up that they could easily avoid?
Great point. The theme, if there is one from me, it's going to be early planning can really save you a lot of money. For example, we get out to show site and a crew works for a day or 2 or 3 days to set up that island exhibit. And the day before the show opens, the customer, the representative or the VP of sales or whoever shows up and said, this booth's facing the wrong way. And of course, we've got documents that somebody showed off. This is the orientation. And we want to make sure we've done that right. And we have to the drawings, but somewhere in the planning process, there was a change made and it wasn't communicated to us. And as I usually have to gently explain to customers, most exhibits don't come with the lazy Susan option where you can just rotate that. So
that would be fun.
Todd, if you come up with that, I've got an audience that will be very interested.
I do know some engineering firms.
But we, inevitably now you have to dismantle some stuff.
Yeah.
Rip up carpet, change wiring.
Lots of rework.
So we hate that. We don't, we don't look at that as an opportunity. Hey, we get to build more money. Nobody wants that. So one is the early planning, I think, can help avoid that. Another is exhibitors that, you're hiring a labor crew, whether it's us or somebody else, and you're setting it up on the weekend, and there's questions or issues that come up, but you haven't given a cell phone or a weekend contact number to the crew, so they're scratching their heads guessing. And here's what I can tell you about guessing on the show floor. If I have a 50-50 chance of guessing right,
you're
I'm wrong 90% of the time. It's just Murphy's Law. That is alive and well out there. So I think good planning, good communication, lean on your exhibit houses or your lead men to help you and sort of plow the road or answer questions if you're uncertain.
Yeah, I want to poke a little more at the communications thing because I can see it's over the weekend and I don't have your cell phone number and I can't get that's one aspect of communicating. But that's really, it's a bigger issue from well before the show during the planning phase. Talk about the best scenario for communicating from the early stages through completion.
For me, I think the best, if you're working with an exhibit house, I think the best thing is, interview that exhibit house and make sure that they've got the street cred, if you will, to handle those logistics. We work with some terrific companies that really set us up to succeed on the show floor. And what I mean by that is, a week before, three, four days before, we get the electrical plan layout. We can have enough time to phone verify those details. I have your inbound carrier information. So if stuff's not there on Saturday at the booth for you, I can go over to the service desk as a representative of your company. We don't charge anything extra for that, but we go and we can search that. We can track that. We can do a lot of that work for you, and we're happy to do that. It's all part of the service. And keep things moving. If we've got multiple jobs at a show, I get those guys off of your clock while we're waiting for those exhibits to come in and not start the build. That's just part of the project management. And like I said, managing the variables, those are the kinds of things we need to do. So, but the communication is early. Again, you will never hear your IND company or your exhibit house complain that you've given them too much information.
Right.
So,
And that works both ways,
right,
I would assume.
Right. Yeah. Right up to if there's last minute graphics that were produced and they're shipping in separately, and we know to look for that, we absolutely will know to look at that. Is it coming FedEx? Is it going to your hotel? Can we go get that for you? You know, we're delighted to make your life easier. Just help us do that.
Excellent. I'm going to switch gears on you now.
Okay.
And I want to talk a little bit about E2MA. I assume you've heard of that organization.
I have.
How can someone who is the leader of a significant organization do it all? How do you have time to spend any time with E2MA? Why on earth would you do that?
You know, that's great. And I'm a real working guy at my company. So, I think all of us in business are always struggling to find time. But when it's something that's worthwhile, and this is an industry that I make my living in, and I'm supporting my family, and I'm putting kids through college in, at some point you get a sense of wanting to, or feeling an obligation to give back.
Yep.
I was drawn to E2MA originally I was an exhibitor appointed contractor, and I was part of the EACA, the Contractor Association.
Gotcha.
4 or 5 years back, that merged with the Trade Show Exhibitor Association. Jim convinced me when that happened that how can you not value an organization that has all stakeholders under one tent? You've got exhibitors, service contractors, hardware suppliers, you've got venues, even union representatives. I mean, we've got people that run the Philadelphia Convention Center, the Orange County Convention Center involved. You've got heads of unions that give us a perspective, and exhibitors in particular, and all of us recognize it's the exhibitor that's at the center of the circle. That's the most important
player
in the
process. That's where the money's coming from.
It is. Yeah. And we should be working to make their lives easier and making sure that they are having the success that they're looking for. So for exhibitors, I think it's a great organization because you've got all those stakeholders under the tent. If you have a beef with how things are done on the show floor, or some of the costs or quality issues, you are now at a place where you can talk to those stakeholders directly.
Yep.
Maybe it's something you didn't know when you're learning. Maybe it's a quality control issue or a process issue, but you have a voice. So all of those stakeholders, that's what hooked me on E2MA. I said, you can't go wrong if the main customers involved and all the other stakeholders, you know, shame on us if we can't put a winning strategy together.
Yeah.
Together,
because there's an awful lot of stakeholders, a lot of different flavors of folks.
There are.
What have you learned? What that's surprising? You know, are there two or three things here in the last couple of days that kind of made you scratch your head and say, yeah, I need to focus on that?
You know, the enterprise engagement. I mean, just that subject.
It's a big subject. Right?
It's a big slippery phrase because it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people, but really it breaks down to two groups. Do we have engaged employees? Because if we do, we're going to do a better job serving our customers. And are we engaging and helping our customers in every way that we can? So we've done some interesting things ourselves this year about employee engagement. Let's be honest, there's this demographic now called millennials that have entered the workforce.
Of them. There are more millennials now than baby boomers. I just read that today.
Millennials are the kids of the boomers, and I'm the very tail end of the baby boomers. But the millennials are 80 million strong.
Yeah.
They're entering the workforce. They're a different, breed,
and I
know there's a lot of business owners out there. I've heard them, make fun of this. They don't want to work hard, or they're not committed, or they want it too easy. And the truth is, these are really smart, bright young people.
Hardworking.
Absolutely.
On top of that.
Half of my company are millennials. And really what I learned is the problem is me and those of us that are over 40 years old. We've got to learn
boomers are more than over 40.
I didn't want to break that to you. Okay, do I have to say I'm over 50?
Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
Well, you've got an audience here that needs to be engaged differently. I think the best advice I ever got as a manager was approach your job like that of a conductor. your job is to bring the music out of the instruments, and millennials may be the string section, and us old schoolers might be percussion or keyboards, but in the end, we're after harmony as a group. So
Great. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Or is that a metaphor? I always get those two things confused. Chris, talk about the next step of it, because employee engagement, obviously a critical thing that, that you as a business leader have to be very, very cognizant of. But talk about how that spills in and how you make that spill over into the customer.
I think the scary part or the misunderstood part by a lot of business owners is they do something or make an investment in employees and they're looking for immediate returns. They want to see the results, you know, performance improve that month or the next month.
Yeah.
It was a millennial who reminded me that I think you have to have a great culture to be, have engaged employees. And there was a millennial that reminded me that, that great culture is more than just free Panera on Fridays. You know, they like the free lunch.
The free Panera,
they have to eat, but you know, they really like a different kind of workspace. We recently just sort of nuked our traditional conference room with the leather attorney chairs and the 16-foot mahogany table, and we've converted into an employee lounge that resembles a Marriott Courtyard lobby. It's still a great place to meet, but it's a little bit more relaxed. We're doing more, I would say, team building things, but not the traditional team building. You know, these escape games are very big where you can go to a place and, you know, go in a room for an hour and you have to solve problems together. It's a lot of fun. excuse me, very affordable. And we've been doing that. The millennial team has gotten me and our senior managers involved in Habitat for Humanity builds. We now do that quarterly. There was, I came to the office a couple of weeks ago in the afternoon and there was a blood bank bus. And there was a blood drive going on, and I went out. And what was great was,
and the employees just took it on their own and
We formed a 3-person what we call a YOLO committee. You only live once. I'm not on it, but these guys put that together, and they schedule a couple of things a month. But when I got that letter from the blood bank folks a week later after they left saying, please congratulate your team at Trade Show Supply. You saved 24 lives in your community with your contribution.
That's a lasting, huge impact.
You know what? Yeah. That's, I think for business owners, that's the kind of company we all dream of building or being a part of. An employee, hopefully employees want to be a part of it. So it's now taken root in our, so we do, you know, in our company, we do have engaged employees, and I know that our customers are feeling the benefit of that.
Yeah, and get a little more specific on that. How? Or what, any specific stories on things?
I think the obvious way, and this is, honestly, this is a newfound awakening for me. This has not been going long enough where I can say, here's the dollar amount. Dr. Gary Rhodes, who's an expert in this field, has said that if we focus on the strengths of those employees as managers, you will enjoy a 71% engaged level from your employees.
Yep.
Subsequently, if you focus on the weaknesses and you're always in sort of disciplinary and reprimand mode for people not performing, you can expect a 69% disengagement level from your employees. Right. I think we all as owners that translates to actual dollars. Yeah. But I think my team has really just become great ambassadors of who we are and what we do. That's been the immediate thing that I can quantify. I see that. And people say, I love working with your company. There's great people here. So.
Look at it into the future a little bit. What do you see coming at us that we're going to be wrestling with 3, 4, 5 years from now?
You know, that's a great question. If I were to vision cast forward 4 or 5 years, I think in the industry, there's no question technology seems to be the big thing on the move. I think
there's a flood of it.
Even every 10 by 10 exhibit space that we're involved in has some kind of technology involved in it. It might be a flat screen or a touch screen. It might be, you know, podcasts. It might be something live happening. We're definitely seeing more. Technology, I think, is one of those things. For us as a company, I think it's the speed, you know, the lead time being people needing things so quickly. It's no longer enough that we have to provide great service. I think we have to actually anticipate customers' needs and have things in place before they're even asking for it, which, again, for our business model, when we put a couple of $100,000 of exhibit properties and AV equipment and furniture in Las Vegas, and, you know, we've got over $1 million of that in Orlando, where we move those things around, it's in anticipation of big shows, knowing that some people are going to contact us 2 or 3 weeks before a show. There's no time to build it from scratch or to ship it cross country. It's got to be there. So right. It does require an investment, but we're willing to make that investment. And we think that's one of the things that helps us earn business.
Not a few folks had predicted that technology was going to take the trade show, the company event, and make it a thing of the past. That's obviously not happened. I don't think it ever will.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about the impact of the technology. I mean, in my view, and it'd be interesting if you agree with it, I think the technology that makes it possible to eliminate the trade show makes the trade show itself that much better and more impactful. So any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think you're right. I see that the technology as an experience enhancer. I think at the end of the day, people are looking for an experience. The best exhibits I visit, there's an experience. Let's face it, you're going to have one, good or bad.
Yep.
It's going to happen. So, you know, the smart creative companies are working with exhibit houses that help them stimulate the senses. I've been in exhibits where it's the popcorn smell and I can't see any popcorn or that fresh orange. I even had fresh cut grass smell. I thought, oh, I love that. This is fantastic. I think it's even here, one of the seminars showed a video of an event where Coke was trying to break into a new campus. So there was a Coke machine, and as the kids each went over and put money in, you know, a Coke came out, and the girl was there, and then a second and a third and a fourth, and she's laughing, she's taking all these Cokes. And the next person that went up and a Coke came out, but so did a bouquet of flowers. And you could see a hand. There was someone in the machine. And the next person walked out of the machine, and a 6-foot sub came out of the Coke dispenser.
That is awesome.
They're laughing. Now there's a crowd around, and then a pizza comes out. You know, and people go, oh, see what I mean? Technology. And I said, well, that's not a real machine.
Yeah, that's a human being.
You know
what?
That's a face-to-face encounter. And the staffer in the space is in a uniform, and they're wearing a Coke machine.
Right.
But so how do you replace that with technology? I don't think that's ever going to
happen. That level of creativity is pretty darn.
Well, that's it. Important. That's where I think, so maybe some of the technology is going to show up on the strategy and planning side is how does an agency or an exhibit house communicate this concept, which is tough to do in two-dimensional drawings.
Right.
How do you communicate that idea without actually creating an animation or video of that idea, because it was brilliant to watch.
Dress them up like a Coke machine.
Somebody had to pitch it, right?
I could do that. I didn't even need padding. I could look like a Coke machine.
Yeah,
a little red on me, right? Hey, Chris, we could kick this stuff around all afternoon, but I know you're getting pulled in 50 different directions here. But before I let you go, I want to make sure folks know how to get a hold of you, how to learn more about Trade Show Supply and TS Crew.
Well, if you're an exhibit house or an exhibit dealer and you need support in about a dozen cities that we work in, our website is www.tscrew.com. If you're a lonely exhibitor that does not have an exhibit house to partner with, or you need a recommendation for one, if you go to tradeshowsupply.com, you can reach us there. There's an 800 number on both of those places, but would love to be a resource for anybody out there that may have a need. So I appreciate the opportunity to come speak with you today.
Chris Griffin, President and CEO of Trade Show Supply and TS Crew, thanks for stopping by, sharing some of your insights and expertise. It was fun.
Thank you, Todd.
That wraps this episode. On behalf of my guest, Chris Griffin, I'm Todd Youngblood. The Trade Show will be back live from the 2016 Red Diamond Congress in just a couple of minutes.